In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This morning, we've read from the book of Genesis the extraordinary call of Abram. This story's importance is heightened by it's the first story where God calls someone to be in a covenant relationship with him. Though Abram is 99 years of age, God presents him with a daunting plan for the rest of his life. So if you ever think God is through with you and can't possibly have a special purpose for your life, you would be quite mistaken. God's call is not a matter of our age, it is a matter of our hearts. God reveals himself to Abraham rather bluntly. He first introduces himself. I am God Almighty. El Shaddai. All human calling from God begins with an awareness that we are standing in the presence of the King of Kings, the Creator of the universe, the Lord of Lords. And I dare say that there came a time in your life when God revealed himself to you and made you aware of his claim on you. I say that there had to be, or you wouldn't be here on a very hot summer's morning to worship him. And it may not be as dramatic as many of the call stories in the Bible, but God also calls people quietly and draws them to himself in different ways. Then in our story this morning, God, after revealing his identity to Abram, makes two demands. The first one is, walk before me. Perhaps God's way of saying, I will always have your backside if you are faithful. The second thing he says is perhaps even more challenging. Be blameless. Well, God, if he's going to call us to fulfill his holy purposes, sets the bar high. He has great expectations of those whose lives he seeks to use to accomplish his holy purposes. He seeks for us to walk with him and to live blamelessly, a holy life. And then God reveals his plan to Abram. God Almighty is going to make his covenant between himself and Abram. Now, a covenant in those days was always made between a superior and an inferior party. God, who is holy and pure, forms a covenant relationship with we who are sinners, blemished. And this brings up another important point. If you think you're not good enough or worthy enough for God to seek you out and ask you to be in a covenant with Him, then again, you would be wrong. For you see, sinners are all God has to work with. And while He sets the bar high for those He calls to walk before Him and be blameless, He knows that we sinful, broken people are not beyond or incapable of rising to glorious heights to accomplish God's purposes. Think of the biblical figures. Moses, who before he was called, murdered an Egyptian taskmaster. David, who sent Uriah the Hittite to the front lines so he would be killed and then David could have his wife, Bathsheba. Saul of Tarsus, better known to us as Saint Paul, who put Christians to death, but who after his conversion became the greatest evangelist and spokesman that history has ever seen. No, the question for you and for me isn't, am I good enough to covenant with God Almighty? The question for us is, do I hear His call and His claim upon my life? And do I trust His voice enough to say yes to His purpose for us? So I would contend that God is searching for all of us to covenant with Him. Why? Because the fields are white to harvest. If only can find laborers willing to go to work in His vineyard so that God can reach the lost and the hurting and those desperately in need of His love, then great things can be accomplished. And no, you're never too old for God to use you. Abram was 99 years old when he packed up his household and left Haran for the promised land of Canaan. God promised Abram that He would multiply him exceedingly. God is always trying to raise up more people for Himself. I am certain that He is hoping to raise up more people at St. Bede's. He's given us a vision of building a new church to welcome new life. Why? Because there is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. What Jesus is saying in this scripture from St. Luke's Gospel is that it is God's desire for people to experience and have a new identity. That's what God wishes to give himself, and to give us a new identity. He seeks to bring new life to people. He seeks for you and for me to become a new creation. And this is made clear from the very beginning in our reading from Genesis 17 this morning. God tells Abram, so important is your calling and new identity in life, I have to change your name. You're going to become a new person. No longer will you be called Abram. You will now have the name Abraham, which literally means father of a multitude. Sarai, Abram's wife, which is a name that meant quarrelsome, becomes Sarah, which means princess, mother of nations. Jacob, after he wrestles all night with the angel of the Lord, is renamed Israel, which means the supplanter. Simon, the apostle, is renamed Peter, from the Greek word rock, after his profession that Jesus is the Christ. Finally, there are those who interpret Revelation chapter 2, verse 17. And if you want, if you've got a Bible, you might open it. The good news is Revelation is easy to find. It's the last book in the Bible. But open that. Revelation 2:17. Many interpret that verse by saying every believer who accepts Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior will be given a new name in heaven. And if you read that verse, it promises three things. First, you will receive hidden manna, communion with him at the great banquet feast. Secondly, you will receive the white stone, which is a symbol for Jesus, the pure Lamb of God, the stone which the builders rejected that became the chief cornerstone. Thirdly, that verse says, you will receive a new name. Why the new name? Because you will become a completely new creation. New birth. Jesus' words to Nicodemus, you must be born again from above. The old will pass away, and the new will dawn on you. So your heavenly being will require you to have a new name. When Abram encountered the living God, Genesis tells us his response. What did Abram do in the presence of God's awesome, almighty holiness? He immediately fell on his face. He was overcome by this encounter and experience with God. So I want to close with a personal thought, if I might. 3 years ago, Nancy and I came to St. Bede's looking for a faithful church which honored Christ, where we could simply fit in and enjoy being part of the faith community. We were just starting to get to know the people and enjoying our new spiritual home when God encountered us. And while I'm not quite as old as Abram, gaining on him, by the way, he had a new purpose for our lives. And he gave me a very clear vision of what he wanted me to do, namely, with the help of all of you, bring more people to him and to build a new church so that many more souls can be welcomed into this fellowship and his kingdom. So this morning I want to say that dream still fills every part of my being. And I will be restless until the day comes when we are worshiping in a large enough church to welcome many more pilgrims, individuals and families, into the sheepfold of the Good Shepherd. Whether this dream will come true or not depends upon our faithfulness. I hope you share the dream, as impossible as it might sound, but if you read your Bible, everyone God calls is called to an impossible task. Really? With God, all things are possible. My prayer is that the vision was from him, and you and I are all stewards of his grace. And let us not forget what we heard Brennan read this morning, the first verse of Hebrews chapter 11, one of my favorite of all of the verses. This is what we read. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Let's have some fun and help God make his vision, because it's his vision, not mine. Let's let our faithfulness support his vision in his good time. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.